All right.
In answer to Mr. Lockaby, no, the meeting hasn't started yet. We're having a couple of technical difficulties. Mike?
Beyond our control.
Okay, Patty, I think you're on.
I'm on.
Okay, great.
Apparently you have to have your volume up.
That's what all the kids are saying now. Could I ask that everybody please mute your computers for now? So we don't have a lot of back noise. Kim, could I get you to go through and mute folks for me if they're not able to mute themselves?
Everybody but you is muted.
Great, thank you very much. Okay. Good evening, everybody. It's April 28th. This is the regular assembly meeting for the city and borough of Wrangell, Alaska. We'll call the meeting to order at 6 p.m. Could I have the Pledge of Allegiance led tonight by Assembly Member David Powell?
Are you ready?
Yep.
We're all set.
I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, republic,
liberty, and justice for all.
That was kind of weird.
Good job. You muted yourself. Okay.
Apologize, folks. I have to move between two screens, so it takes me a second to get caught up. Item two, roll call, please, Kim.
Assembly members DeLong, Decker,
here.
Powell,
here.
Larrabee,
sorry, here.
Gilbert,
here.
Morrison.
And I think you're still muted.
Here.
And Mayor Prasanka.
Here. Okay. Is there any amendments to the agenda? All right. Any conflicts of interest? All right. I'm seeing none. Consent agenda. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt. Did we skip over persons to be heard?
I think persons to be heard are down the way, is it not? Oh, I'm sorry, Julie, you're right. I did. I missed persons to be heard, and I apologize. It was sitting up on the top of my screen. Persons to be heard. Kim, I believe we have at least one person to be heard tonight.
Yes, so I have Joan Sargent, who wants to give the invocation as well as be a person to be heard.
Excellent. Ms. Sargent, would you like to go first, please? Joan, are you on the line? Your phone may be muted, Joan, if you're on a telephone. Kim, what does she need to press to unmute her phone?
Star six, I think, isn't it? No, or is that different?
Star six.
Joan, if you press star six, you should unmute your phone.
I don't know her phone number. Oh, wait, is that you, Joan?
Unmute all lines, please, Kim.
Okay.
Ms. Sargent, are you on the line? Ms. Sargent, are you on the line? Okay, I'm not hearing anything.
Hello?
There we go.
Joan, are you on the line there?
Hello?
Joan, yes, go
this
ahead.
Is Joan.
Go ahead, Joan. You wanted to do an invocation and be heard under persons to be heard tonight?
I do.
Please go ahead.
Okay, well, it's good to talk to you tonight. My name is Joan Sargent, and I'm from Island of Faith Lutheran Church. And so we'll go ahead with an invocation first. You know, I volunteered to do this prayer at the ministerial meeting the first week in February. And at the time, the most stressful thing that was occurring in our community was the loss of our ferry system. The assembly was working to pass a rate stabilization policy to hopefully prevent excessively high energy bills should we need to use generators for an extended period of time. And it was a bit cold and snowy, and I remember Mayor Prasanka asking us to run our water to keep our pipes from freezing as we were once again draining the reservoir. And now, about 3 months later, how small those problems seem. Not only has our town, but our world has been tipped upside down. 1 million confirmed cases with 60,000 deaths in the United States alone. 26 million Americans applying for unemployment. Unbelievable. In an attempt to slow this raging virus, we individually were asked to do things completely against our nature. Social isolating in Wrangell, Alaska. That's completely an abstract idea, and for many of us, really hard. So how do we pray at a time like this? What do we say? For some, prayers are a list of requests from God. Should we face the dilemma of prayer in that way today, that list would be as long as the Christmas list of a six-year-old with a Toys R Us catalog. So perhaps we should speak to things that we have, things that are good, and things we are grateful for in our lives and in our community. I'd like to base a spiritual message about that. Let us pray. We are so blessed to live in Wrangell, Alaska. The beauty and serenity truly helps temper our stresses and fears. The bounty of our land assures that we do, and we will have food for a good time to come. These shared things do draw a community together. So much so that when asked, the people of Wrangell literally stopped in their tracks, committed to a show of love and respect for their fellow community members, social isolating, quarantining, shutting down their businesses, assuring help for seniors, making and wearing masks, and reaching out to friends and neighbors offering help in any way that they could. The result of that today has been to literally stop the virus at our shoreline of our beautiful island. So blessed are we to have a community that is somehow so spiritually connected that we would do this for, in many cases, neighbors we don't even know. In addition, we are so blessed to have the tireless, patient, and meticulous state and local leaders that have been doing their best in guiding us through this dark, unknown forest of the pandemic. We know there is no perfect path to address the chaos by this unknown, highly contagious, deadly pathogen. It is assured that our leaders will be having to assess, reassess, and redirect our journey through and out of the consequences of this pandemic. We are so thankful for whatever spiritual powers, be it God or otherwise, that have piloted and renewed them so far. And we pray that spirit may stay with them for months, possibly years to come. Thank you, Wrangell Borough employees and assembly. To have blessings often requires personal responsibility. We know that if we maintain this weird way of showing our love and respect for our neighbors, social distancing, wearing masks, and sanitizing, there will be a ray of light ahead in the dense forest that will lead us to a clearing of normalcy in our world. So may God or whoever you draw your inner strength from in times of chaos or suffering help you be resolved to continue to do your personal part and to encourage and support our local leaders. Amen. So be it.
Mr. Mayor, you're still muted.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Joan. Really appreciate that. Was there also something that you wanted to say under persons to be heard? Or was that
Yeah. Okay. can I go ahead?
Yes, please do, Joan.
Okay. All right. My name is Joan Sargent. Okay. Do you need address or anything? I don't know.
No, just your name.
Okay. All right. Well, I wanted to address the situation of face masks. You know, I've been kind of keeping up with it and working on it. I wanted to update the community a little bit and yourselves maybe about what has been going on with that. Although I'm not a lead person, I just track what's happening in the library and then kind of listen to what other fellow mask makers are doing. But I did talk to the library today, and to date they've handed out at least 330 masks. There are over 100 adult-sized masks available and about 30 child size. Thus, well over 500 masks have been made, and some are still available for distribution. They did give out even some today, and people are continuing to take advantage of this program. So these masks that go through the library don't account for the masks that were made for the school district employees, healthcare workers, seniors, and all the masks we mask makers have made and given directly to family and friends. I'd like to publicly express a really huge thank you to all the people who have made masks. And I'm sure there's people out there, you're just, you know, they've been sewing and we don't even know that they're sewing. I noticed there's some even hanging on poles along the highway for people to just pick up as they drive by. The other thank you goes though to those who are wearing them. I personally just want to thank them because it just tells me that they care about my health and possibly my life. And it's just, I don't know how, you know, we go by each other and we have that eye contact, and I hope I can give you that gratitude and a smile you can't see. So last night I was listening to the update and I heard a discussion about the possibility or about non-essential versus essential businesses and wearing masks. And if I had it right, non-essential businesses, the employees and customers aren't required to wear a mask. And for essential businesses, it's the opposite. You have to wear a mask if you're a customer in the employee, I mean, the person that's waiting on them or owner has to wear a mask. And gee, this is kind of ridiculous. In fact, it's what a conundrum. It doesn't make sense. Okay. So I'd like to suggest the city explain the situation to perhaps non-essential businesses. It, you know, this is kind of an unfair playing field. In one way, shape, or form, but it's also, you know, what are we trying to say to the community here and within the state? So maybe you could ask them if they would voluntarily, you know, see if their employees would wear masks, considering the fact that non-essential businesses, they have to wear masks. It's just not right. If that doesn't work out, I'd like to encourage you to go directly to the state and explain the conundrum and see, there's so much going on. Perhaps this has been overlooked or it's just too much to address in the past week, you know, but maybe they can resolve this issue. Thank you for, I noticed Mayor Prusanka that you put something online about City Market and quite a few of the, if not all of the employees are wearing masks, and just the recognition of that I think is really important. So thank you.
Thank you very much, Ms. Sargent. Could I just ask Lisa to clarify the masks, who's expected and who's not, because I think you actually have it reversed, Joan, but I'm just going to ask Lisa, just for the listening audience, to clarify that so we have the right information out there. Lisa, go ahead, please.
Sure, Mr. Mayor. The non-essential businesses that have just been allowed to open under Mandate 16 are required to wear masks. The essential businesses that have been allowed to be open under the critical and essential workforce infrastructure are not required to wear masks. But still a conundrum remains that there is an inequity between some businesses having to have masks and others not. So I will, under my COVID briefing under the manager's report, talk a little bit more about that issue.
Thanks so much, Lisa. Thanks again, Joan. Kim, do we have somebody else for person to be heard?
Yes, Mike Lockaby.
Mr. Lockaby, would you like to go ahead, please? Can we ensure that Mr. Lockaby is unmuted? I still have him as muted. Star six, Mr. Lockaby, do I unmute your phone? There you go.
Yeah, I'm here, Steve. You got me?
We got you.
Okay. Sorry for the informality, Steve. Your Honor and the Council, thanks for your service, first of all. I appreciate what you do, even if I don't agree with you on some things. That's not the issue here. I have some comments from the last few days and some from some of the last mandates that haven't really been disseminated enough. I think you guys need to disseminate more information from the mandates. I realize you can't publish them in paper, but refer to them and ask people to look them up, because a lot of people, if they just read these simple mandates, and most of them are simple, 17 is not, but I think it would go a long ways for them to understand what rights they have, what rights they have been removed, and so forth. I've got 5 points here. It'll be far less time than the invocation, although I thank Joan for that. That was cool. In an update last week, City Manager Lisa Van Bargen mentioned that the sales tax revenue last quarter was down 50%. I actually listened to that to make sure that's what she said. And I think the public needs to know, last year, approximately $2.6 million in sales tax revenue came to the city. That's a good thing. It makes it operate. This equates to $37 million in taxable sales, below cap sales. I want you to realize going forward that this is probably going to continue through the season. And if further restrictions are put on, it will undoubtedly continue through the season. That means that $18.5 million minimum less will flow through our community and businesses this season. If businesses are open 25 days a month for business, this equates to $62,000 per day lost to Wrangell businesses. Instead of overcap dollars, the reality of the loss to our community will be in excess of $20 million. That's half of what the revenue normally is that creates the tax. Last night in a workshop, you were thinking about where to spend relief money. I got several ideas. Businesses that collect sales tax do not have programs to support them, like entitlements that help families and individuals, all good programs, but businesses don't have that. How about $1,000 per $10,000 gross sales distributed to resident local businesses and sole proprietors as they struggle through this year? You can cap it at $10,000. It's kind of a wrangle-to-wrangle stimulus. You know, I figure you'd find a way to spend it without resorting to that, but that's an idea. I also realize that you can't spend it on that. I just wanted to let you know that there's options to that that are possible. If you can't spend it on those losses, how about turning the clock back to 1998 and 1999 when the city suspended sales tax because they had an excess of money? They did that for 4 quarters. Okay, and it worked. They got rid of the money and the people saved the sales tax. That's a thought too. Instead of not having a no sales tax day, how about we have a no sales tax year? You're going to get $3.6 million in relief money. That's good. That'll way cover the sales tax. I realize you have other stuff too. But at 50%, you're also going to get $1.3 million in sales tax. And that's at 50% if it stays there. So you're actually going to be dealing with almost $5 million. That's a good thing. We need the money. Good. But if you can turn it into some kind of a break for the people who are struggling and the businesses that are struggling in this town, please consider that. Point four, this fishing season is not going to be a good one. The projections for returns are not very good. And processors right now have many concerns with export and domestic consumption being way down. Restaurants, fish markets are closed. they're suffering restrictions, they're not buying product. If that goes through the summer, that'll really hurt the price too. Right now, the prices are going to be probably 30% down. That's revenue that won't come to this town via the fishing fleet. Too bad. The only bright point is the price of gas is down a dollar. But the black point of that is you're getting 7 cents less a gallon on your sales tax. I urge you and the public to review Mandate 10.1 Attachment A. You can see the 24 categories of business and services that the State of Alaska, the Cyber Infrastructure Security Association, and the DHF have said, quote, have a special responsibility to continue to operate. I got a blast in my ear. The CISA, DHS, and the State of Alaska have said, quote, these businesses in these 24 categories have a special responsibility to operate. The CISA further said that businesses, services, and support services to these categories have a special responsibility to continue normal operations.
Mr. Lockby, I'm going to give you one more minute to wrap up.
That's fine. I'll make it far shorter before, but that's okay. Most of our local businesses fall into one of those categories. I see that State Mandate 14 for our healthcare workers and first responders are asked to go into non-congregate shelters so as not to expose their family members as of April 13th. I personally don't see the need for this due to the current very low risk, and that goes along with my feeling about for minimum restrictions. I believe the community's done an exemplary job to protect each other and our community. I also believe that we should be considering as few restrictions as possible going forward with life here. Please consider this and more as you seek to form your local restrictions under 17. Once again, thanks for your service.
Thank you, Mr. Lockerbie. Just to address your last one there, and I'm not going to have you respond back to it, but non-congregate folks, which is about EMS and the first responders, nursing staff, doctors, dentists, all your healthcare people, there's a provision there that says that if it is required, the state, they have to be not living in their domicile for some reason. There's a provision that the state will be paying for those, putting folks up in hotels and such. And it is not that the state is saying that those people can't live at their homes while they're waiting. It doesn't say that. That's not the intention. The intention was to raise funding for FEMA. I know you had some words with our clerk today about that. That is just not the case. But I appreciate all of your input today, Mr. Lockerbie, and we'll look forward to the next time you speak at us all.
Mr. Mayor?
Go ahead. Yes, Lisa.
If I may, I would like to clarify something that Mr. Lockerbie mentioned.
Absolutely.
He indicated that I said at the last meeting that we were down 50% in the last quarter. I believe what I indicated is that we anticipate being down 50% the last quarter of this fiscal year, which is the current quarter in which we are in that ends June 30th. We are also anticipating considerable reductions in sales tax revenue for the upcoming quarters, as Mr. Lockerbie indicated would likely be the case. But I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Kim, is there anyone else under person to be heard?
No, there is not.
Okay, then we will move on to item 4, amendments to the agenda. Is there any amendments from any assembly member? I'm not seeing anything there. Thank you. Consent agenda, there should be a motion.
Move to approve consent agenda as presented. This is Patty.
Patty, thank you. We have a second.
I'll second it, Steve.
Ann, thank you very much, Ann. So it's been moved and seconded. Any discussion on the consent agenda? And I'm not seeing any. Kim, before I move on, can you assure me that I've got such a long list of people on my participant list here. I've actually have Patty down below where I can see her and still see everybody else. Will she move up if she raises her hand for some reason?
She should be. I'll keep an eye out too.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Okay, so it's been moved and seconded and we are through with discussion. Poll vote, please.
Assembly members Decker?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Larrabee?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Morrison?
Yes.
And Mayor Pasanka?
Yes. Okay, Borough Manager's Report. City Manager Von Bargen, take it, please.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have items that are not COVID related, and then I have items that are COVID related. So the first item I want to go over with you is that many of you may have heard that there is an expected statewide burn ban that is going to be put into place because of concern that fire crews may not be able to travel as they normally would to respond to fires because of COVID-19. We did receive information yesterday that Southeast Alaska will be exempted from that burn ban. So I just wanted to let the assembly know. I also wanted to advise the assembly. We received information regarding our Secure Rural Schools payment for this year. And we anticipated we would get about $950,000. The actual amount of that payment is going to be $883,647. So slightly less than what we anticipated. So there will be a little bit less money in the SRS reserve following the funding of the school, but not a significant amount. But I wanted to update you on that. The other thing I wanted to mention is that the mayor signed on to a letter that was written by the Alaska Municipal League from, it's an op-ed letter regarding the importance of PILT and SRS payments to communities. And he joined on with the Aleutians East Borough, the City of Valdez, and the Denali Borough were included on that. So I just wanted to let you guys know when that letter comes out in final form, we will send that out to the assembly so you have it. But basically what it does is it talks about the importance of those programs and it lists out what those communities or those boroughs get in payments and how they use that funding. So it just sort of speaks to the importance of that across the state of Alaska. Moving on, one other thing is I will be having a discussion tomorrow with our union representative. We have to have a discussion about moving forward before the end of the month regarding collective bargaining. And although we understand it's going to be a very different situation and perhaps delayed quite a bit because of COVID-19, per the collective bargaining agreement, we at least need to enter into conversation. So I'll be having initial conversations with our union rep tomorrow regarding that, and I'll keep the assembly apprised. So there are a handful of things I want to bring to your attention on the COVID briefing. So related to the just brief discussion we had about masks and a potential for a mandate, because the governor has indicated an interest of working with communities to be able to do things that are more restrictive than what the state is allowing, I specifically asked Captain Spray to reach out through the State Emergency Operations Center, asking if a mask mandate was something that would be allowed. The response that came back from SEOC is that we need to put any request, specifically one to do a mask mandate, in writing and submit it to Commissioner Kroom, and he will facilitate a discussion between the borough, the governor, and himself regarding that. So it's interesting to me. Sometimes I think maybe Wrangell's the only one asking for permission because everybody else seems to just be